football on Off the Ball.
And you asked me why Brentford are doing so well. Because structurally, he's the nucleus of a really strong, young, fit, hungry team who probably all want to move to Manchester United. But they've got to do it for him first.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're welcome back to Friday Nights Off the Ball. So if you're in Limerick or Drogheda, Dunleary, Greystones, Talla, Westport, Galway, Cork or the Nall, then Richard Cooper, co-creator of Après Match, is coming to your town very soon. Out of His Head is the name of his solo show, and it's on the road between the 28th of February and the 25th of April. So you can hop online to find tickets for any of those venues. Very happy to say that Richard is with us in studio right now. Richard, how are you doing?
How are you doing, Owen? Nice to be here.
You were supposed to be banned from the studio. I put out a veto to say that Richard Cooper is never allowed back in this studio after the events of the 2019 Rugby World Cup. Let's remind our listener what went down.
Just when we were on the precipice of making history, we fell apart. So, I mean, Owen, you were there. Explain, please. How did this happen?
Well, I think we're all asking the same question. You know, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And how can we avoid this happening again?
Yeah, that's kind of what I just said.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's worth repeating, mainly because we've got loads of time to fill in this particular show. You know, I think we have to repeat things in order to flesh them out. I mean, what can we say other than the fact that, you know, we're not as good at rugby as we thought we were? I mean, that's about the height of it.
True, yeah. But so what are we saying here? I mean, how can this happen?
Yeah, I know exactly. I mean, how can this happen? I mean, you know, how can this happen? And I mean, you know, I suppose maybe if we put the emphasis on a different word each time we repeat the same thing, it won't sound like we're actually repeating it. Like, how can this happen? How can this happen? How can this happen? Or how can this happen? In terms of like every word in the sentence sounds a bit different.
Oh, dear.
Sorry about that.
It's been so long since the PTSD I get from that is actually my family WhatsApp group going to town on me. Be like, yeah, this guy really did deserve to get a good bit of a ribbing over the course of that World Cup. So
yeah, it was just the dynamic between the two of you. I thought was actually brilliant. And
we've been split up since. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know what sort of ribbing went down to ensure that divorce happened.
Well, I maybe since Jerry let his hair grow long, maybe he thought, you know, I'm too big for Owen. You know, my hair's going long. I'm cool. I don't need Owen. And then you probably thought, like, where do we go from here? You know, I mean, where do we go? Where do I go from here? And you went away, didn't you? And then you came back. See, yeah. That's where you've gone from there.
Yes, yes, it's very true. It's very true. Came back like a boomerang. It's a very, very uncomfortable thing to be talking to yourself here, but the manner of the show, Richard, is actually genuinely a fascinating thing. Where did you go from the period of... being in here doing Richard's Rugger thing is a fascinating question. Actually, one of the things, as an aside,
nice segue there.
Yeah, yeah. Feel free to come back to it at any point you want. As an aside, one of the things that came up actually in the office, and I think what they were talking about on Off the Ball Breakfast recently, actually, was your role in Quiz.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, that comes up over COVID. That's broadcast on COVID. So a bit of television work on that front, and then this solo show, which I hadn't quite realised, is your first ever solo show on stage.
It is. It is. I've done lots of different kind of things on my own over the years, but never like a full live show, and certainly not touring. So I'm really excited about it. But actually, you're saying your role in Quiz, and it reminds me of a story where I was sitting outside a restaurant in Ranelagh, Tribeca, might as well say it, and having something to eat. And this guy went by, and he kind of was looking at me and went back and forth, kind of looking at me, and I thought, that's a bit strange. And then he stopped and he said, you're rolling Quiz. And I thought, I wasn't sure what he said, but it turned out he was an actor who went up for the role in Quiz. But he said, you're rolling Quiz. I should have got that part because I went, but I thought he was saying, you are Roland Quiz. I thought he was saying, you're Roland Quiz. And I was like, what? No, I'm not Roland Quiz. My name is Richard Cooper. What are you talking about? But anyway, it's kind of one of these jokes, a recurring jokes that happens in our family. And sometimes my family refer to me as Roland. But yeah, it is. That's on at the moment. Quiz is on at the moment.
It's just come to Netflix or something, is it?
Yeah, yeah. We did it actually just before the start of COVID, actually. Yeah. We did, and it was on ITV, first of all. And like a lot of stuff on ITV, it seems to go to Netflix. But a lot of people, it's interesting, like for the first, are seem to be discovering it.
Yeah.
But it's a great show written by James Graham, who's written a lot of plays. And but it's a nice combination, I think, of it's funny and it's also quite dramatic. And it's also like true to what happened with this couple that were accused of cheating and getting £1 million, the major, played by Matthew McFadden, and the whole coughing thing that got them £1 million. So, and it doesn't really reach any conclusion whether they are guilty or not, but it's kind of a nice little report, a reflection on it.
Yeah. It's because I watched it at the time. I was unsure as to why everybody's talking about this right now, but obviously Netflix gives it a fresh new kick. It was absolutely brilliant, so it's worth checking out. But talk to us about this live show.
Yeah.
Like, surely the idea of you going solo in front of a live audience has always been at the front of your mind. How has it taken this long for it to happen?
I don't know, really. I suppose because I've been doing other things and, Even I've often done gigs on my own, say on a corporate level or whatever, and or rugby clubs or football clubs or whatever. But this is slightly. I mean, I'm kind of expanding basically, and it's more about I was mentioning before, it's a lot of the characters that people would know me from doing an Opry match, and sort of a comparison between those characters and the characters that exist at the moment, and the whole, I suppose, examination of how television has changed over the years, and like what you can and can't get away with, like what you would be able to get away with, say, doing Opry Match or doing those Opry Match characters back in the day, and also the real characters themselves, like what Bill and the panel would have been discussing, and even the whole thing. I was just looking at the clip recently of Dunphy using the F-bomb, and how, and then like it was, this deep and meaningful apology to the camera, which Bill set up. Eamon would like to apologise now to the nation, and, he does his apology. But it's just, it's become obviously a little bit more sanitised, I think. And but it's also within that, I think, there's some humour there as well to be found, I think.
Yeah. We haven't heard the word inaxitude on Irish TV in quite some time.
No, I had never, actually, that was the first time I'd ever heard that word. Yeah. Inexactitude. the show really goes into all sorts of different areas, sketches, impressions, and I suppose absurd imaginings, as the blurb says, I suppose, just wondering what, say, Pat Kenny might be doing now that he's off the weekdays on News Talk, and where he might go next.
Where does Pat Kenny go from here, I think, is the question.
Exactly, where does he go from here? And so who knows where he might go? Obviously, there could have been a road trip, himself and Conor Faulkner, perhaps on the motorbikes going around Dorky. Not really a good idea to leave the safe environs of Dorky. So probably something like that, or maybe Naked Attraction, hosting Naked Attraction with an Irish twist, the twist being that Pat would be in the nip himself. Perhaps that might be an area to explore, shall we say. There's all sorts of well-known characters that I'm doing, and also some new ones. I'm doing actually Graham Norton as well as another one, interviewing somebody maybe who isn't a great interviewee and maybe isn't as effervescent as that show kind of demands. Yes, just that, Graham insisting that you have to be very upbeat and incredibly, interesting and have loads of Hollywood stories. And somebody who isn't maybe up for that.
Yeah.
Like Gabriel Byrne, So it's just, it's just exploring all those different areas.
The fascinating thing now as well is that while there has been a massive shift from day one of your impressions and the content that you can work with, there is also just a massive volume of content for you on which to base your impressions.
Yes, there always is. And I mean, I suppose from a very early age, I was particularly fascinated by sport, and like from like as soon as the telly went on, and there was like my parents were always really interested in sport and my family and everything, and I was just, you know, glued to all the coverage. Like on, we didn't have BBC actually for a good while, but we had what they call piped television, and for anyone who's old enough to remember what that is,
you might explain for those who aren't.
Well, it's just is basically you had RT1 and RT2, and actually just RT1. And then RT2 came along, and then piped television meant that it was, I'm not sure what it was piped to, but essentially it meant you got the British channels.
Okay.
So you had BBC 1 and 2 and ITV, and Channel 4 came along then eventually. But, you know, because I was asked recently, like, who was my favourite impression to do, and I think from an early age, Barry Davis, the football commentator on BBC, he has a way of talking and which is he just seems to be able to describe things with a sort of innate disdain. And, you know, I did him on the 86 Ireland, or sorry, England, Argentina match. And but I was just delighted to get the chance to do somebody like him because he's not obviously around anymore. He's still alive actually, but he was just like one of those voices that kind of really struck a chord at me from an early age. And one of the reasons I started doing impressions was thanks to him and David Coleman on BBC, who did The Athletics, and in Lane One, Alan Wells of Great Britain. And all those voices just kind of like stuck in my head, and then obviously Bill and the lads as well, and from the, I remember from the I think it was about like 10 or 11 or something like that, maybe slightly older, and I sort of was listening to Dunphy, and Liam Toohey was another one who was on at the at that stage. It was Liam and Eamon saying things like, you know, he hasn't picked the best side at his disposal. And Liam would say, what? What's that mean? And Bill would explain what disposal meant. But I literally went up to my room with a tape recorder and sort of did a version of those voices. And
really?
Yeah, it was sort of like just my way of processing it or something. And I always found it just a really interesting combination. Like the whole idea of analysis, I just found it funny.
Was that with an ambition to make a career out of it, or was that just self-amusement?
Self-amusement. No ambition at all. I mean, I've never really had ambition. I've always tended to do things that just amuse me. And fortunately, like, I've been lucky in that department that it does amuse me. But yeah, the whole idea of you know, analysing, and like as if it's kind of some kind of nuclear physics, you know, what might happen or what could happen. And the whole emphasis on like predicting things as well with analysis, I always think is hilarious. Like, what do you think is going to happen? It's like, you know, I mean, where do we go from here?
Exactly.
It's always really kind of funny territory, I think.
Well, in the sense that egg on face kind of is often the eventuality.
Well, no, but just how can you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you don't know. I mean, you know, really the honest answer that most pundits would say to that question is, I don't know. But obviously you're in a position as a pundit to come up with some things, come up with some theory as to why probably Ireland will beat Italy, for example, tomorrow, or why England will probably beat Scotland. But the reality is Scotland could beat England and Italy could well beat Ireland, although I think that's unlikely. There I am doing it.
Yeah.
I think rugby analysis in particular, it's become so technical and you know, it's kind of bamboozling. The game itself is pretty bamboozling, mm-hmm. but I think the analysis has also become like, sorry, what? Where? And even working out, I think, what like the breakdown, for example, I haven't heard anybody making sense out of that. I'm not sure the players really understand it.
No.
You know, even just listening to players talking about the breakdown, you kind of think, I'm not sure they actually know why the penalty was given against them for that, or and there seems to be as well this protection about, you know, on referees now within the rugby fraternity, that they don't want to blame the referees, like it's a bad thing because, you know, referees take it personally and people retire because they're, I mean, the guy, I can't remember his name, but he kind of stepped off the refereeing panel, didn't he? Because he was kind of personally abused, which obviously I wouldn't, you know, I'm not saying that's a good thing. But I do think also, like, having said that, the game between Ireland and France in Paris was a little bit ridiculous that people aren't saying, you know, I mean, because everyone's talking about, you know, the forward pass and the knock on by Dupont. And saying, ah, well, France would have won anyway. But, I mean, that's 14 points at the beginning of the game. And, you know, this is me with my serious rugby head.
Yes, good analysis.
Well, I mean, I do think it's kind of, you know, it's not like it's something you can just dismiss, you know, that, you know, was a knock-on a forward pass and France would have won anyway because, you know, we don't know.
What are you listening to at the moment? Like, what's informing this serious rugby analysis? Because you're obviously absorbing quite a lot.
Well, I've always been actually genuinely interested in rugby analysis and football analysis, even though I think it's funny. But I've been listening to The Left Wing and Will Slattery on Left Wing. He's kind of always really like, I don't know what Ireland we're up to against France. I mean, somebody explained to me why they couldn't catch a ball. Every time they kicked up the air, they couldn't catch it. And Luke, I mean, what did you think, Luke, of the way? What do you think of Ireland's performance, Luke? First of all,
what did I think? That's a pretty tough question, Luke. That's a pretty tough question, Will. What did I think? Come on, that's a tough one, Will. To be fair.
He seems to be bamboozled, Luke, by a pretty, pretty straightforward question. Like, what did you think? which is funny.
So the Left Wing is occupying a lot of your mind. What are the other rugby pundits saying in the build-up to this game against Italy this weekend?
Well, obviously, you've got, Eddie O'Sullivan was talking about Andy Farrell. It was very strange that Andy Farrell came out with that. You know, his view that he felt that Ireland lacked intent. I mean, I'm not sure I would have put that out there. I mean, the last time, you know, I played, when I was coach, we lost 76-5. But, you know, I mean, we gave them a damn good rattle and they really only pulled away from us in the last 70 minutes, you know? But sometimes, you know, you go around the house looking for a pair of socks and you look down at your feet and you realise you're wearing them, you know? I mean, that's Six Nations Rugby Fair, apparently.
Apparently that's Six Nations rugby.
But yeah, Eddie, I think Eddie's a bit of a genius the way he comes out with these. You know, you can't launch a cannon from a canoe. I mean, what would you want to? You know, sometimes you've got to squeeze out the pips before you can suck on a lemon. All these ingenious things. Can't grate cheese with a wigwam or something. Anyway, but I love listening to Eddie and Joe as well. On Joe, the Whispering Joe. There's a lot of them that are the kind of new guys. There's new pundits. I'm working on Rob Carney as well. I'm not quite there with Rob, but he seems to use his mouth quite a lot when he's talking, and I think it doesn't really matter what I say because I'm such a sex bomb. I think that's really what he's, you know. Where he's at.
The outlook over the course of this Six Nations is one of negativity. I think that the Eddie O'Sullivan view is a really interesting one. And I do think it is embedded in a whole aspect of genius. Like, I do wonder if the phrases are kind of just in his head that he kind of goes to, and he's used them so much in dressing rooms and in media that he can just throw them out willy-nilly, or does he actually sit down before each appearance and actually consider what might be applicable to this conversation?
Interesting, yeah. I think when he does have a few, I know he's always talking about horses. You've got to have the horses and the cattle to play that kind of game, north-south rugby, and go around the corner and, you know, spot pass off a first receiver. But yeah, he's horses. He seems to be obsessed with the horse analogy. But I remember the first time I ever really noticed these kind of speech patterns of his was when we were at a press conference during the France World Cup, when Ireland were knocked out by Argentina, and he said something like, "You can't unring a bell You know, and you know, you can't unring a bell. And I was just thinking, like, well, you know, would you want to unring a bell? Why would you want to unring a bell? But I think that was also when I think he was a bit annoyed at me because I asked him a silly question. That's Colin Murray.
Well, this is the thing. Maybe it's because I wasn't working in the media in 2007, and maybe this is sometimes a little bit inside baseball. But it was only when Brendan Fanning brought out his book before Christmas that I realized that you were in the press conference in Lons.
Yeah.
After, sorry, not Lons, 2007.
It was Paris, yeah.
Paris, sorry. Yeah. And with all due respect, I don't think Richard Cooper is the person that the massively under pressure Ireland head coach wanted to see in the press room after getting knocked out of the Rugby World Cup.
No. It was probably a little bit unfair. And I think he's just about forgiven me at this stage, Eddie. But yeah, it was, we were doing a documentary. And we were with, I think it was for TV3 at the time. And, but we had got accreditation somehow. And it was Guerrilla TV, basically. And I was actually asked him as Colin Murray. I mean, he was under pressure. But in a way, I kind of sort of possibly diffused a pretty awkward, potentially, that's my reason for doing it. But I said, Eddie, you've just been knocked out by Argentina in the World Cup in Paris. Are you now perhaps a croc, monsieur? and he didn't say, I don't know how to answer that. And then the PR guy said, like, Richard, seriously, come on, you know. And some of the press corps, like John O'Sullivan and Jerry Thornley and people like that, I think they were amused, but I think they probably didn't want to let on that they, yeah. There's a sort of a cohort, I think, of rugby hacks, things, you know, very unsavory thing to do.
It's amazing, really. It does have a, not talking about any particular rugby hacks or anything, but certainly the very, the people who rugby is meaningful to and is the most important sport to them by a country mile, there is maybe a protectionism about it, maybe a little bit of a, we can't joke too much about this. It's very serious
there
sometimes.
Is.
Like, even from our vantage point as people who do not operate very well, anyway, in the areas of humour or comedy, even we see how those attempts are fed back.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody who actually does it for a living, do you notice the rugby feedback a little bit more, what are you doing here compared to football or other sports?
Well, I don't really, to be honest.
Okay.
I think most rugby, I certainly think most rugby players or people who've played the game are very, you know, they're absolutely grand with it and they seem to kind of encourage it. And, you know, like I would do a lot of gigs with rugby players around and even people like Joe Schmidt, who I did a few gigs in front of and I did impressions of him in front of him. And on the back of that, he asked me to come down to the World Cup to entertain the players.
That's right.
Which worked out really well. It was
2019, wasn't it?
2019, yeah. And I was supposed to arrive on the Thursday in Tokyo and I missed the connecting flight. I flew from Dublin to London and then missed the connecting flight from London to Tokyo. So I had to text Joe and say, listen, I'm actually not going to make it until Friday. I was supposed to do my bit to the lads on Thursday. And up until that point, like the texting had been kind of back and forth very swiftly. And then there was a pause of about an hour. And Joe said something like, yeah, I have to talk to the player group, the leadership group, Richard. And but he did come back and say, yeah, please come along on Friday. And so I did. And I just took the mickey out of him, basically, for the whole time. And there was definitely a palpable relief in the room. I mean, you could genuinely feel the stress and tension in the room.
Okay.
But arguably, it may have released too much stress because the next day they went out and got absolutely destroyed by New Zealand, 46 something or other.
So this is the day before the quarterfinal.
It was the day before the quarterfinal against New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I've actually said it before, but the worst aspect of it was because Joe had organised tickets for me and Pal. We were sitting in the players' relations area. And obviously as a fan, Ireland didn't have their best game, but as a fan, I'm going, Jesus, you know, and sort of blaming the players or whatever. But I was sitting beside Rory Best and Rob Kearney's family, so I was like, Rob, yeah, oh, gee, hard luck. You know, that was, oh, yeah, he was not, that was unlucky. Because he, yeah, just dropped the ball there. So it was kind of a little bit of it was a difficult position to be in. But yeah, it was a difficult match to watch, I have to say, from a fan's perspective. But it was the end of Joe, really, as well.
Yeah.
But no, but getting back to the journalists, I think from you know, I think the sort of the regular sort of rugby journalists are, yeah, they probably don't like the game being attacked too much because, or being ridiculed too much because, I suppose it's their job, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, this is what we write about and have to take seriously.
Have you gone into a press room like that ever again?
No. I haven't. I have. We did for the Lions in 2009.
Okay, that'll be a better theatre for where it's...
Yeah.
And by the way, the 07 theatre is absolutely the best theatre for it. The higher the stakes, the funnier the bit. But
well, this
would be a more welcoming environment in 2009.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there was. And it was, I suppose, although again, you have like a lot of British rugby journalists are, you know, take what they have to say very seriously as well. But yeah, that was the one in South Africa, and the South African coach at the time was also quite a character. It's interesting from sport to sport. I think in football, they expect, like, managers and players and pundits expect to have the mickey taken out of them, whereas in rugby, maybe it's kind of a relatively new thing.
Talk to us about football then. Actually, before we go there, we need to remind ourselves of the man of the hour when you were in studio with him a number of years ago. This was when Keith Andrews was one of our own voices here on Off the Ball, and he happened to be in the same day as Richard Cooper.
I think he's doing really well, you know. I think he's put himself about a bit on the panel. But, you know, he's not willing to necessarily commit to RTE. You know, he's got TV3, he's got RTE, he's got Sky. But I think he's doing a fantastic job. He's infiltrating himself in a fantastic way, his infancy, and I think he's just fantastic at making up the words. And, you know, obviously, having said that, the infancy and the general masticate as a collective is doing superbly well for Russia.
He is doing superbly well in that dugout as well now, Richard.
He is. He's got a bit cooler, I've noticed, after the games, you know, in the press conferences. He's slowed down a bit more confident. He was asked about Thomas Frank getting sacked, and he's a very good friend of mine. And I'm not making up words anymore because I don't need to, because I'm the king of Brentford. He's doing. I'm actually delighted.
So
I have to say, he's such a breath of fresh air, I think, as well, isn't he?
Ah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think he is like a genuinely honest and good. I think everybody as well. I mean, and me included. I have to say, sorry, Keith, but I didn't expect Brentford to do this. And I mean, I think they were one of the favourites, weren't they, to be in the bottom three?
Yeah,
to be relegated. I mean, I'm a Leeds fan, which is obviously a difficult spot to be in, has been for quite some time, but they are doing remarkably well now as well. Looks like they will survive.
Yeah.
How
come you never got the Giles bit then as a Leeds fan in that pre-match?
Well, that's true. That's a good point. Gary staked his claim there. Yeah. And to be fair, Gary has the stature.
Yes.
Gary's a natural. Has Giles' kind of madness, because Giles has a certain madness, I think, about, you know, just the way the game should be played there. And Gary captured that brilliantly.
Where do you go from here, Richard? Where do I go from here?
Well,
the 28th of February is where you go from here.
Yes, 28th of February. I'm in Friar's Gate in Limerick, which is actually in Kilmallock. It's just outside of Limerick. And then I'm in Drogheda on the 7th of March. And then I'm in Dunleary, the pavilion in Dunleary. That's February, March. And then, yeah, I'm going around the country. Out of His Head is the name of the show. And it's a bit of everything. It's a bit of acting, a bit of comedy, a bit of sketch and crack and, yeah, a bit of light relief. And obviously some very satirical and brilliantly made points as well. it's just light. It's funny. I was in Whelan's last night, and the first time I've done that gig is the Cherry Comedy Club in Whelan's, and great comedy club if anyone is interested on a Thursday night.
Good mate of mine runs it.
Does he?
Dwayne.
Dwayne was MC's. Great. So that was a lovely room. So I tried out a bit of my stuff there, and thankfully I didn't get booed off.
Okay, good. It's good news for Roland Quiz heading on the road over the next couple of weeks.
Good news for Roland Quiz. Yeah. Exactly, Roland Quiz.
And where can people check out more information to get tickets and all that?
It's richardcooper.com, and all the tour dates are on that, ticket info and everything.
We've forgiven you, Richard.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Well, where do we go from here? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, Friday, so I'll probably go to the pub. That's where I'm going from here.
We've got ads from here.
Ads. Yeah, ads.
Football on Off the Ball.
And you ask me why Brentford are doing so well. Because structurally, he's the nucleus of a really strong, young, fit, hungry team who probably all want to move to Manchester United. But they've got to do it for him first.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.